Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Awesome. Today, we're going to be tackling matrix multiplication.
Ooh.
I know. It sounds a little daunting, maybe. But trust me.
Yeah.
By the end of this, you're going to see why it's actually super useful and even kind of elegant. We're going way beyond just like memorizing the formulas.
Yeah, for sure.
And really getting into the why behind how it works.
Absolutely.
And for this deep dive, our trusty guide is a document called Origins of Matrix Vector and Matrix Multiplication by R. Scott McIntyre.
Great document. Really insightful.
So get ready for some serious aha moments, folks. You're about to discover how this seemingly abstract math is rooted in solving real-world problems.
Yeah, and that's what I love about this document. It takes a very grounded approach.
Yeah.
It doesn't just throw these operations at you like, here's some abstract math. It shows how they actually grew out of the need to solve real-world problems.
Oh, okay. So where does it all begin then?
Well, the document starts with something super simple. Just a basic algebraic equation like x equals b. You know, the kind you probably learned way back in high school.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hmm.
The point is to show how this basic concept is, like, the seed from which matrix multiplication grows.
Hmm. I'm intrigued, but I gotta admit, I'm a little skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go from solving for X to, like, multiplying entire matrices?
It's all about scaling up. Imagine instead of just one equation, you have a whole system of them, each with multiple variables.
Okay.
And these systems, they pop up everywhere. You see them in physics, engineering, economics, even things like Google search algorithms rely on them.
Right. Okay. So that's a lot of equations, a lot of unknowns.
Hmm.
Sounds pretty messy.
Exactly. And that's where matrices come in. They provide a really neat way to organize all those coefficients and variables. So instead of this jumble of equations, you have this nice structured matrix. It's like a snapshot of the whole system.
So the matrix is kind of like a filing system for all those equations.
That's a great way to put it. And here's the really cool part. The document emphasizes that matrix vector multiplication, it isn't just some random operation.
Right.
It's defined specifically to mirror the process of solving those systems of equations that we were talking about.
Hold on. I'm trying to visualize that. So you're saying that multiplying a matrix by a vector, it's basically like solving a bunch of equations all at the same time.
You got it. And the document takes it even further. It talks about how matrix vector multiplication can be seen as creating a weighted combination of the matrix's columns.
Okay, weighted combination. So can you break that down for me a little?
Sure. Think of the columns of a matrix as its building blocks, right?
Right.
So when you multiply by a vector, you're basically taking each element in the vector and using it to scale.
Uh-huh.
Or weight the corresponding column in the matrix.
Okay.
And then you add up all the scaled columns and that gives you your result.
So each element in the vector, it's kind of like it tells you how much to stretch or shrink each column before you add them all together.
Exactly. And there's another really cool insight that the document highlights. It talks about how if you multiply a matrix by these special vectors called a AJ, you can actually pick out specific columns from the matrix.
Wait, really? What are these EJ vectors and why are they so special?
Well, they're basically vectors that have a 1 in a specific position and then zeros everywhere else. So if you multiply a matrix by, say, the E1 vector,
yep.
You get the first column of the matrix, multiply by E2, you get the second column, and so on.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. It's like those AEJ vectors act as like a spotlight, illuminating each column of the matrix one by one.
I like that. That's a great way to visualize it. And this really emphasizes the idea that the columns are like the fundamental building blocks of a matrix.
Right.
They determine how the matrix will transform any vector that it's multiplied with.
Mm, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Okay. I think I'm starting to get a handle on matrix vector multiplication.
Yeah.
But what about multiplying a matrix by another matrix?
Yes.
That seems like it would get way more complicated.
It might seem that way, but the document actually builds on those ideas that we've already talked about.
Okay.
Like, remember how we talked about associativity in algebra?
Uh-huh.
The idea that the order of multiplication shouldn't change the outcome?
Yeah, like 3 times 2 in parentheses times 4, that's the same as 3 times 2 times 4 in parentheses.
Exactly. So the document defines matrix multiplication in a way that actually preserves that same principle.
Okay.
It makes sure that if you have matrices A, B, and C, then A times B in parentheses times C is the same as A times B times C in parentheses.
So it's not just about like making the math look neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's about keeping this fundamental idea from algebra, even when we're dealing with matrices.
Right. Matrix multiplication isn't some arbitrary operation. It's deeply rooted in the logic of basic algebra. And the document, it doesn't just assert this, you know, it actually demonstrates how this associativity holds true for any vector when you multiply it by a product of two matrices.
I'm really starting to appreciate how carefully this document builds up each concept.
Yeah.
It's like we're laying this solid foundation for understanding, like, how all these matrix operations actually work.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of foundations, the document then goes on to introduce the identity matrix, denoted by I.
Oh, right, the identity element. So in regular multiplication, that's like multiplying by one, right? It doesn't change the value. So is the identity matrix, like, does it leave other matrices unchanged when you multiply with it?
Precisely. It's like the number one in the world of matrices. But again, the document, it doesn't just state this as a fact. It actually shows you how they derived the unique form of the identity matrix.
Okay.
Like why it has to have ones along the diagonal and zeros everywhere else in order to work this way.
So there's a logical reason for how it looks. It's not just like a random bunch of numbers.
Hmm. Absolutely not. It's all very deliberate. And of course, the document then goes on to prove, step by step, that if you multiply any matrix by the identity matrix,
right,
whether it's on the left or the right, you always get the original matrix back.
It's like the document is building this case, carefully proving each piece of the puzzle.
Right. Now, just like we have division as the inverse of multiplication in regular algebra,
yeah,
there is a concept called the inverse matrix.
So that's like the opposite of a matrix. So if you multiply a matrix by its inverse, it would be like it would undo whatever the original matrix did.
Exactly. It's analogous to dividing by a number to undo multiplication. The document doesn't really dive into like the specifics of how to calculate the inverse matrix.
Right.
But it does emphasize its importance.
Okay.
As like this parallel to division in algebra.
This is amazing. We've gone from simple equations to understanding like the logic behind matrix multiplication and even the concept of an inverse matrix.
Yeah.
And remember, all of this is presented through the lens of solving these real world problems.
Yeah.
The document really stresses how these operations are motivated by very specific needs rather than just being these abstract definitions.
Right. That's what makes this deep dive so interesting. You know, we're not just learning what it is, we're learning why it is. It's like we're peeking behind the curtain to see the machinery that makes it all work.
Exactly.
Okay. So where do we go from here?
Well, the document actually takes a step back and looks at the bigger picture.
Okay.
It compares the types of solutions you can get when you solve both simple equations, you know, like the scalar ones,
right,
and their matrix counterparts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're moving from the how of matrix operations to the what it means.
Exactly. Ready to dive into that.
Okay. So we've seen how these matrix operations are rooted in like solving systems of equations.
Yeah.
And how even matrix multiplication, it's built on these really solid algebraic principles.
Right. Exactly.
What else does this document kind of explore?
Well, the final section kind of takes a step back and looks at the bigger picture.
Okay.
It compares the kinds of solutions that you can get when you solve both simple equations, like the scalar ones,
okay,
and their matrix counterparts.
So we're moving from the how of matrix operations to the what it means.
Precisely. So remember that basic equation, x equals b.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The document reminds us that there are actually three possibilities when you're trying to solve for x.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see if my algebra is still up to snuff here.
Right.
If A isn't zero, there's one unique solution for X.
Perfect. You just divide both sides by A and you've got your answer.
Where?
But then there's the case where A is zero.
Okay.
So if B is also zero,
yeah,
then you have infinitely many solutions.
Right, right. Because anything times zero is still zero.
Zero times anything is still zero.
Yeah, exactly. So any value would work
exactly
for X.
Yep.
And then lastly, if A is zero, but B is not zero.
Yes.
Then there is no solution.
Right.
Because you can't multiply zero by anything and get something that's not zero.
You got it. You nailed it. Now, the document draws this really fascinating parallel between those scenarios and the solutions that you get when you're solving matrix equations.
Okay.
Like X equals B.
So instead of just like a single number A, now we've got this whole matrix A to deal with.
Right.
Does that mean there are even more ways that things can go wrong?
In a way, yes. But the document emphasizes that those core possibilities are still the same.
Okay.
You can have a unique solution, no solution, or infinitely many solutions.
Right.
And it all comes down to whether or not the matrix A has an inverse.
Okay.
Which is kind of similar to A not being zero in the scalar case.
So if A has an inverse, we're good to go.
Pretty much. If A has an inverse and the vector B lies within what's called the range of A, then you have a unique solution.
Okay.
There's one specific vector X that will satisfy that equation.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But what if, what happens if A doesn't have an inverse?
That's where things get interesting. If A doesn't have an inverse and B is not within the range of A, then there's no solution.
Okay.
It's like trying to divide by zero. You can't make it work.
So, like, no matter how you combine the columns of A,
right,
you're never going to get B.
You got it.
Okay.
And then finally, if A doesn't have an inverse, but B is within its range, then you have infinitely many solutions.
Okay.
There are multiple ways to combine those columns to actually produce B.
Wow. This document has really taken us on quite a journey.
It has.
From basic algebra.
Yeah.
To the intricacies of matrix multiplication.
Absolutely.
And now even to understanding, like, the different types of solutions that we can get.
It's really quite elegant how it all ties together, you know?
Yeah, it is.
The document demystifies these matrix operations by showing how they're actually rooted in these very familiar concepts, like building up from a simple equation to reveal the logic and the beauty behind it all.
I feel like I have a much deeper appreciation for why matrix multiplication is defined the way that it is and how it all connects to, you know, solving these real world problems.
Absolutely. And remember, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you kind of have this foundation, you know, you can go out and explore how matrix multiplication is used in fields that really interest you.
Right.
From computer graphics and machine learning to economics and physics.
That's such a great point.
Ugh.
This deep dive, it's given us more than just knowledge.
It has.
It's sparked this curiosity to learn even more.
I hope so.
So, to our listeners, I encourage you, take this understanding and see where it leads you.
Yeah.
What connections can you make?
Yeah. What problems can you solve?
What problems can you solve? Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.